Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Yud Dalet. We are holding, however, on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beit. And I would just like to introduce the daf by pointing out that we have moved on, you will notice, to the Inyonim of Begodim. We spoke about why we would do that. And that's because directly after the Inyonim of the preparation of the Yiriyos HaMishkan, we need to talk about the other things that were done through Ariga and preparation, which was the Bigdei Kehuna. And because of that, we moved on to how it is that one treats Begodim. However, it also teaches us how Begodim treat you. Because remember that the Inyon of the Begodim of the Kohanim was in terms of lichavod ulatif aret. Now, because of the fact that I think this is a very important yesod that has to do with understanding our masechet overall, in light of the fact that the dinim of Shabbos are learnt out from Mishkan, there's something that is very profound that implies about our lives, and that is the fact that since the melacha on Shabbos is actually indicative of what Briyas HaOlam was about, what the Hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were in terms of Sheshes Yomim Taseh Melachtecha, that becomes the Sheshes Yomim of Maaseh Bereishis, from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nach, and we learn those out from the Mishkan. But if that's the case, then it means that the Mishkan is a model not only for Shvisa, obviously, but for all of the things that are creative in the way we need to relate to things, which means that if the Begodim and the Beis HaMikdash were part of the way that we need to understand Maaseh Bereishis, and obviously anybody who reads the story in Bereishis sees immediately the importance of Begodim in the actual story on many levels, not only at the last moment to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Begadim, but in terms of Adam Arishon's own search for Begadim, and as Rashi points out, the need for the Begadim that was short-circuited by the Maisa of the Nachash, which comes immediately before this discussion in the Gemara. And that was the question of whether it would be a good idea for a woman to have intercourse in front of a Nachash, or it would be a bad idea, which of course would be what the Sugya in Gan Eden was all about. This is how Rashi understands we interrupt the story at which we would have been talking about Begodim to teach you about the Maisa of the Nachash, which was because of the lack of Begodim, which means that the sugyas that we've had in Shabbos are all in order as a direct insight into the way that humanity evolves in terms of clothing and in terms of its connection to death and Chesaron. Now, what that means is that the Gemara today is going to move on to that aspect of Beged. So in other words, until now, we were talking about Stam. We thought it was part of the din of how it is that we're able to fold our clothes on Shabbos and so on. But today, since we landed up with the understanding yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was Kora LeBegadav Mechabdai, and therefore he explained the inyan of V'chibatoi, and that's all part of the question of Shabbos, this is what we're going to be getting into today. And that is to teach us more about how it is that Rabbi Yochanan's insight into the covet of Beged is consistent with his an understanding of history and so on. So let's start on Amud Beit. We are five lines up. In Tachas Kivodo is where we were up to. V'tachas kivodo, yukod eish. So this is talking about the story of the army of Sancheirav HaRasha, in which they had just been mecharef and megadef, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Chizkiyo that, oh my God, you have no idea what is coming with these guys, that actually beneath the honor is going to be fire. And this was the destruction of close to 200,000 men in the army of Sancheirav overnight. What happened to them? That's what happened. What does that mean? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what the Pasuk is saying is that tachat kivodo, meaning beneath their clothing, they were all consumed and turned into ash. So in other words, all the soldiers were perfectly well-dressed because the dress is the kavod. But beneath that, meaning their bodies, were burnt to a crisp. Yekod Eish. Now, this is Rabbi Yochanan Lataime, because Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamane Mechabdotai. So since he understands the getter of clothing being that which gives the kavod to a human being, therefore he understands tachat, in that case, tachat kvodo, beneath the honor, that is to say, under the uniforms of those soldiers, they would be burnt to a crisp. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer, who did not call his begadim his Mechabdai, so he learns that it means the simple meaning of the pasuk, not that that makes any difference in terms of what happens, because he understands also that their bodies were burnt to a crisp, but he doesn't learn it from the sense of under their clothes. He learns it in the sense of their bodies being their kavod, and that would mean, yes, it is like Nodav Avio, the same idea, and that would mean that tachat kvodo means instead of the honor that a human being has, which is the dignity of his own body, they were reduced to ashes in the most undignified fashion, which those who prefer cremation are similar to the Nazis' vision of what it was that cremation means about human beings. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer, tachat kivodo, exactly as Rav Daniel just pointed out, kisreifat b'nei Aharon, and it's actually compared to Nodav Avihu directly. And that is that just like over there, Srefat Nishama Beguf Kayam, as it says, we learn that out in Sanhedrin, so too, it would mean the same meaning in Sancheriv. So according to that, it would be Dafka, their bodies were untouched. Omri Vachabarava, Omri Yochanan. This brings us to another issue. And that is that it's not merely that clothes are clothes are clothes. In other words, the idea of clothes are to cover your body. No. In fact, the appropriateness of a particular type of clothing to a particular manifestation of oneself is also merumas in the Torah, and you do not wear the same clothing for all different types of activities. So because of that, there would be a chiyuv to change your clothing for activities that require a higher madrega of your manifestation in the world. So if it's Shabbos, you need special clothes for Shabbos. If you're going to pray, you should have special clothes for praying, and so on. Where do we learn that out from? Minayin l'shinui begadim min haTorah, shenemar upashat et begadav lavash begadim achirim. So when the Kohen was coming up to do the Trumas HaDeshen, now, the Trumas HaDeshen was one of the things that you're mechuyev to wear your Bigdei Kuna for. So then why does it say, Upashat Bigadav Lavash Bigadim Achirim? Oh, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Limdecha Torah Derech Eretz, that the Kohen should not wear the same Bigadim that he uses to bring the Korban, he should not use the same Beged for the lesser Aveda of taking ash, which would get on his clothing, off of the Mizbeach, and it's very simple. It's understandable in terms of Derech Eretz. Kideira, rather, Begadim, Shebishel Behem, Kideira L'Rabo, Yimzog Behem Kos L'Rabo. I mean, just imagine in terms of human relationships, if the waiter in a fancy restaurant was one of the guys who was actually working in the kitchen, and he's all stained up with fat and ketchup and spices, and he comes on out and he brings you the dish, right? So that would be what you're going to wear, the same clothes that you use to clean out the oven, so to speak. When you take the ashes off of the Mizbeach, you're going to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those clothing, the korbanos. So that's exactly the point. But that means that in general, one has to be sensitive to the level of his wear at a particular point. It's also considered to be very low class for a Talmud Chacham to walk out into the marketplace when he's got a patch on his shoes. What? I mean, Rav Acha bar Chanina, actually in Brochus, the Gersa was, it was Rav Chiya bar Abba himself, who did go out exactly that way into the shuk. So how could he be the one to say that? Omer of Achabarei Rebbe Nachman, he was referring not to a normal pair. Okay, fine, somebody can't afford a new pair of shoes, that's understandable. But he was talking about where your shoes are patches upon patches, which is really, I mean, that's inappropriate to be seen that way. The Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba Omer Reb Yochanan Kol Talmid Chacham Shenimtza Revav Al Bigdo Chayav Mita. If you a Talmud Chacham goes out and his clothing are in any way soiled, so then he would be Chayav Misa, because it says Kol Misanai Ahavu Kol Masniai is the lashon of the pasuk. We're going to darshan it. Kol Masniai Ahavu Mavet. All those. Sorry, no, the other way. I'm so used to drushans. I have such a beautiful pshat in it that I keep getting, I take my own pshat and I put it into the pasuk. So it's kol misanai avumavet. It's a lashon of pasuk. Anybody who hates me loves death. Okay, so how does having a stain on your clothing mean that you hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we accomplish this by changing the lashon in the pasuk to read, Al tikri misanai. Don't read that those who hate me. Read that as those who cause others to hate me. Kol masniai. Now the question is, now this was what bothered me for years. What right do we have to do that? To say kol masniai. I mean, kol masniai is a lot worse than kol misanai, isn't it? I mean, somebody's going to teach other people to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why are we darshaning a masniai? The chiddush over here in the pasuk is that people who are in fact masniai, but have no thought that they're masniai, thinking that they are oyavei Hashem, are actually called people who hate me, which is an incredible insight that the Gemara is bringing. In other words, you can have a Talmud Chacham who is issuing all types of insane learned comments about the nature of reality, which causes everybody to hate Torah, and we find so much of this. And this person himself is a big Oyev Hashem, and he sits and he davens with tremendous kavana and love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. But the bottom line is that he's a person that causes the Briyos to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As if this is what Torah is about, forget it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And literally over the past, even just 5 years, who knows how many tens of thousands of people have been totally turned off to Torah because of stupidity of people that are making pronouncements. So the chiddush in the pasuk is that if the bottom line is that a person is causing people to hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that can only come from an inner insensitivity to what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing in the world. So that therefore the person himself who believes that he's an oyev is only oyev his own version of what the world ought to be, but has no interest in what the world is. And because of that, it's a tremendous chiddush. So memela, it's also would be true on the simplest level. If somebody walks out looking like a slob and he thinks that, well, I'm such a holy person and, people should know, I don't care about these things, so I'm a little bit dirty. Then it's avumavet, so then he's chayev misa. Ravina Amar, look, that's a little bit tough. I mean, you can't be just because he has an oil stain. And what it's talking about over here is not revav, it's talking about reved. Reved means a semen stain, which is revadim, which is the lashon that is used for preparing a bed for activities that would cause semen stains. And because of that, the reference over here is to something that is truly a bizoyant to walk out with. And actually, the two shitas are not arguing, says the Gemara Pligi. One is referring to the glima. The glima is the coat that the person wears that is visible from the outside. So that would be even an oil stain. Ravina was talking about on begotim that generally speaking are not so visible. So it would be like a shirt, maybe an undershirt over there. It would only be a semen stain that would be totally bizyonis. What do you think the meaning is of the pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Yeshayahu HaNavi that he was supposed to go around for 3 years and he was supposed to go around naked and barefoot, and that way he would be showing the Mitzrayim and Cush what was going to happen to them, what a deep avelus it would be. I mean, obviously, it can't mean literally that he was told to walk around naked. So what would it mean? Kasher alach avdi Yeshayahu arom v'yachef Arum would mean to wear clothing that were unbefitting for Yeshayahu, which were begadim beluyim, and yachef means barefoot, means to wear the mina'alimetula'im that we were talking about earlier, that are also inappropriate for a Talmud Chacham or for a Novi. Fine. By the way, this is one of the famous Rambam's approaches to things that are seen in the vision of a Novi as being an alternative to reality that nobody else would notice. In other words, like the story, this is what the Rambam goes crazy about, and they're yelling at the Rambam, it's the same Rambam, that would mean, according to the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never actually appeared. These malachim were just a vision that Avraham Avinu had, and he never went to bring them that food, and none of the things ever happened. It was all a vision, and actually he never told Yishmael to bring the steaks, so on and so forth. How is that possible? Anyway, so Rambam learns the same thing is true over here in this pasuk. He explains in the Moreh Nevuchim that it was never that Yeshayahu actually kasher halach of the Yeshayahu. It means kasher halach of the Yeshayahu in that vision. Fine. So not that that changes very much. It's just fascinating that that even in the vision, that would mean that the Gemara would understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have been mitzaveh for him to actually go around naked and barefoot. Tanahata. Okay. So now getting back to our sugya. In mikvos, the question would be, nogea very much lahalacha. What type of stain would be a chatzitza in a beged that would prevent tahira in a mikvah? So, revav al hamardea chotzeitz, even an oil stain on the saddle of a donkey, which now, okay, how makbet are you going to be on the saddle of a donkey? I mean, these weren't really saddles. It was a mardea. It was a beged like a saddle. Even that's a chatzitza, and you would not be able to be tevel it until you cleaned it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, well, I mean, it has to at least be the size of an Isra Hayitalki in order for a tafchashivis, because remember, one of the dinim of chatzitza is that only something that the owner is makbid on is considered to be a chatzitza. But upon your own clothes, ala begadim, over there, it would be chotzeitz much more easily, because over there, it would be chotzeitz Mishnei etzidadim, it would have to be something that you couldn't flip around. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, no, even mitzad echad. So wait a minute. So how does that relate to the mardea? I understand. What about the mardea? You said the begadim are different. Mardea is what? According to Rabbi Shmuel, would you say according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be chotzeitz af mitzad echad? Did he mean to say that the begadim would be more chomor? Or is he going to say that over there, it would only be if it went all the way through and it penetrated to the other side? Or Marley, well, if you continue reading the Mishnah, you'll say, I mean, I don't know about this particular din. I don't have a Kabbalah, but it seems very clear. Because you continue reading the Mishnah, Kayotzi Bashamati, the Tznan Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shel Banaim Mitzad Echad, Vishel Bor Mishneit Stadim. So if you're talking about the begadim of a banai, now we'll see what that means. So then it would be considered to be even on one side of the beged, it would be a chatzitza, because a banai is very makbid on having clean clothing. If it's just a bor who's a slob, it would only be considered to be a chatzitza if it goes through both sides of the beged. Now, I think that there's no question that Rabbi Yishmael would certainly not say that a mardat of a chamor is more choshev than a beged of a human, even if he is a boor and am aretz. So probably it is not going to be chotzeitz, it's only on one side. By the way, what does the word banaim mean? On Rabbi Yochanan, banaim means builders. Well, certainly can't mean builders' clothing. I mean, builders, for heaven's sakes, their clothes get dirty all the time. They should be less makbid, not more makbid. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, it means builders of the earth. And that refers to Talmidei Chachamim, who all day are working only on one thing, Binyanei Shel Olam, how to build this world up. And that would be the reason that we would call Lo Tomar Banim Ela Bonim. Fine. So Bonim are Banim. Miom Rabbi Yochanan. Ezeo Talmid Chacham Shemachzirin Lo Aveda B'Tviut Ayin. When is somebody sufficiently mechubad as a Talmud Chacham that we could trust him, that he doesn't have to give a simen for getting something back, but he could just note that he knows that this is his? Zeh hamakpid al chaluko lohofcho, that somebody who's so careful about the way that he dresses, that if he puts on his undershirt backwards, he will get undressed, take it off, and start over again, because it's inappropriate. That's how makpid he is to be a fully perfect human being. That kind of person you can trust to give back untvius ayin. Amazing insight into what it means to be a Talmud Chacham. Miomar Rabbi Yochanan, ezel Talmud Chacham shememanino to parnas ala tzibur, who is big enough that he can be appointed as a rov over that community? Zer shesharlino to dvar halacha bechol makom veomer, someone that you can ask him a question anywhere and he can answer it, even in Masechet Kalah, which very few people learn Masechet Kalah. This is one approach. I'll tell you the other approach is very few people learn Masechet Kalah, which was one of the Masechet Aktanot, that Kalah Beli Bracha is considered to be Asura Leva'ala, as if she's a Nida. That is a collection of Brises. Even there, he could tell you what it says in those Brises. Now, others learn that Masechet Kalah does not have anything to do with Masechet Ktana, called Kalah. Masechet Kalah means the Masechet that they're learning during the Kalah. The Kalah, of course, were those two times in the year where they spent a month learning the Masechetot that prepared for the Yomim Tovim that were coming. And the meaning would be that even if the only thing that he can answer are things that they're teaching in Masechet Kalah, that would be sufficient for him to be considered a Talmud Chacham, to be a Rav, a local Rav in a community. We'll see later on more about this when we get to Rabbi Yochanan later. Another thing Rabbi Yochanan said, Ezel Talmud Chacham Shubnei Iro Mitzuvim La'asot Lo Melachto, where we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu that everyone else made the Orin and not him. So where is the Chiyav to other people should be supporting the Talmud Chacham and do whatever he would need to do and not have him go out and work? This is somebody who always puts the Chavtze Shemayim ahead of his own issues. But this is only on Amila Lemitrach Berifte. The Chiyav on the Tzibur is only to provide for his basic Parnasa and not to buy him a Mercedes. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, ezeu Talmid Chacham, what is considered to be a Talmid Chacham? Now there's different levels that Rabbi Yochanan is introducing. So kol shesha'alim oto halacha b'chol makom ve'omra, what good is that level of a Talmud Chacham? That would be l'minuye parnas al hatzibur. That would be to make him a parnas, but what level parnas? Well, when we say b'chol makom, that has two meanings, right? B'chol makom could mean anywhere, or b'chol makom could mean everywhere. So therefore, like this, if he's able to give you a psak in one mesechet that they're being asik in, and that's what he's learning now, so then ba'atre, that person is good enough to be a local rav. Ibekule tenuye, if he knows the entire shas and everything that everybody's learning, he knows, then it would be even as a resh metivta. So that would be an expansion of what we learned before. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish argues on this interpretation of Banaim referring to Talmidei Chachomim, although you must admit that the very fact that the Mishnah contrasts the Banai with the Bor would be a classic contrast of a Talmud Chacham with an Amoritz. I mean, so if we're going to say that it means something entirely different, and it would be based on the Spanish or the Latin, banos as banos, which would mean baths. So Elo Banaim would be the Lashon of Bei Bani, in Arabic, in Aramaic, and the Beit Bani would be bathhouses. So then what it would be referring to is those beautiful, fresh, clean robes that they give you in the spa. And over there, obviously, the slightest stain means it goes back to the laundry. And that was what it was referring to. Those are kelim ha'ulyarin ha'ba'im b'dinat hayam. So those are these beautiful material that they import from overseas. And over there, even on one side, there for sure, it's going to be a chatzitza. Wait a second over here. But you're implying that those are very white begotten that will show any type of stain. I mean, are they indeed white? Lememer de chivre ninu? Are kelim ulayrin white kelim? The armelu Rabbi Yanai lebanav, Rabbi Yanai willed his children when he was talking about how they should bury him. He said to his children, Banai, Al tikbaruni lo bekelim levanim velo bekelim shechorim. When you bury me, don't make my shrouds white, and don't make my shrouds black. Because if you make them white, what happens if I turn out to be an idiot and sitting over there in hell wearing these beautiful white clothes, which looks like I was convinced I was going to be in the Beis HaMedrash, and everybody else is wearing their black suits and they're in hell, and I will look like I am like, woo, a chosen, and all these other people are burning in hell. I will feel pretty dumb, won't I? So make sure that you don't bury me in white clothes. Don't bury me in a black suit either, because what if I'm zeicha to sit in the mesifta derakia and I've got a good position in the Beis HaMedrash? I'm going to look like an idiot if I wear a black suit in the Beis HaMedrash, right? So because of that, I don't want you to make a fool out of me. So what you should do is, you know, try to find some kind of neutral color, maybe a gray, you know, that would be nice. So instead, bury me in kelim ha'ulyarin ha'ba'im b'dinas hayam, which means that they are bedafka, not white. Maybe they're like a grayish color. It's sort of a neutral color. So they must be colored. Alma sumkin inu. There's some type of color on them. So normally sumkin means mamish red, but I mean, obviously that's not what it means here. Lokasha. And says the Gemara, it depends. Rabbi Yanai was talking about what type of suit. Suit is an upper baguette. But we were talking about in the Reb Shimon ben Lakish's chat before, who said that we're talking about things that you'd be very makbid on in a bathhouse. Obviously, those are white and absolutely stainless. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, getting back to the Mishnah. So again, this is not the right quote from the Mishnah, because we're only quoting the part about the Kippul Begadim for Shabbos to Yom HaKippurim to Shabbos. But we sort of moved on from there to the question of whether you're allowed to bring the unburned kravayim of the karbonis that were brought on Shabbos, are you allowed to burn them on Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Shmuel said, yes. So in other words, he holds that Yom Kippur is a lower level Kedusha, but you can't do from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says, neither from Shabbos to Yom Kippur and not from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Now, there is a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, indeed, about this question. Can you bring the hakrova of what needed to be brought, the chalavim of Shabbos, on Yom Kippur or not? So Tana Rabban, Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. Now the words Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato are completely extra because the pasuk had just completed telling you the various dinim of exactly what you need to do in Pinchas. So why does it repeat Olat b'Shabbat, Shabbat b'Shabbato? It must be that this is a ribui to tell me to bring those no matter what. But it also stresses in that same ribui, b'Shabbato. Shabbato means only in its own type of Shabbos, not in some other Shabbos. So what does this come to tell me? So we understand that what this would mean is that you can bring your chalavim of Shabbat even on Yom Kippurim. So in other words, if Yom Kippur comes out on Yom Rishon, then you're allowed to bring any of the chalev that was left over from the korbanos of Shabbos. You can bring it on Yom Kippur. You might think you can even bring the korbanos of Yom Kippur, if there was anything that needed still to be brought, you could bring them on Shabbos? No, Talmud Lomar b'Shabbato, only of its own Shabbos level, but not the level of Yom HaKippurim. So says Rabbi Shmuel. So that is Rabbi Shmuel, Dafke learns from the Pasuk that Yom Kippur is less Kodesh than Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Akiva says, no, absolutely not. Neither Shabbos on Yom Kippur, nor Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Why? Because he understands that when it says Olat Shabbat b'Shabbato, which is Marbe, that you can bring korbanos from Shabbos even on another day, that's coming to tell me that Chalve Shabbos are Krave B'Yom Tov. Not Yom Kippur. Yom Tov, where there's no chi of Kores on doing Melacha, over there, that's a lower level of Kedusha. But Yom Kippur, which there is an Isser Kores, that's the same level as the Isser of Shabbos. And you might think that even on Yom Kippur, you could burn any Chalev that was left over from Yom HaShabbos, you can burn that night of Yom Kippur. No, Talmud Lomar b'Shabbato. B'Shabbato means it's only on the Kedusha of that Shabbos, not on the same Kedusha where it's transferred to Yom Kippur. Only a lesser Kedusha. Now, Kishatim Tzalomar, when you work out what the Machlokas is, the only way to properly understand it is like this, that Rabbi Yishmol, who had the Pusik available to him of Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato as a Ribui, to tell me that you could be Makriv on Yom HaKippurim, that's because he held, I do not need a Ribui to tell me that you could be Makriv on Yontav. Of course you can be Makriv on Yontav. Why, of course? Because we have a machlokas about whether you're allowed to bring your own korban nedava on Yom Tov. So if I have a korban that I personally want to bring, if you hold that you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, then obviously I can bring a chiv on Yom Tov that's from Shabbos. That's much more than my own personal nedava. So if Rabbi Yishmael, and that is indeed Rabbi Yishmael Shita, so that boils down to the machlokas because Rabbi Akiva holds you cannot. And therefore, Ledevre Rabbi Shmuel, the reason he has a pasuk extra and available to tell me Yom Kippur is because he holds that even Nidarim v'Nidavot can be brought on Yom Tov. So why would I need a pasuk to tell me that you can bring a chayva on Yom Tov from Shabbos? It's obvious that that's more than just my personal one. So what's the pasuk coming to tell me? It must be coming to tell me Yom Kippur. Masha Inkein, Ledevre Rabbi Akiva, Nidarim v'Nidavot are not allowed to be brought on Yom Tov, and therefore I need a special pasuk to tell me. But leftovers from Shabbos can be brought on Yom Tov. So according to him, ki itzrich kra, what's the pasuk for? Lamishra be Yom Tov. Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera says like this, but Nageya the same halacha, that ki avina bavavel, you know, when I was learning in Bavel, I used to think that, you know, that halacha that we had about blowing the shofar bein Shabbos l'chol. So you remember we had this the earlier on the Masechta that you blow these tekiyas to be mafrish, the Ami Malach. We had like that whole Seder. People would have time to come in to town. People would be able to close the stores and so on. Now, I used to think that the Braita that says that if Yom Kippur comes out on an Erev Shabbos, there would be no point in doing a tekiya. Why? Because basically it's going to be the same Isurei Melacha that you've had all day. So what would be the point of announcing that it's Shabbos? It's been Asur B'Melacha all day. And if it comes out B'Mitzray Shabbos, then they wouldn't say Havdola because it was, again, it was the same Kedusha. I used to think that that was everybody's Shita. I mean, what would it have to do with the Machlokas in our Mishnah that we just had between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? But interestingly, when I went up and I made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachite LeYehuda B'Reid Reb Shimon Ben Pazi, so I found him sitting and saying that, no, that is only true Aliyah to Rabbi Akiva. Because if you hold Aliyah to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel holds they are not the same Kedusha, because Rabbi Shmuel says that you're allowed to use Yom Kippur to bring the Chalvei Shabbat, right? So then I should do a Tekiya, because if people see that when Yom Kippur comes out before Shabbos, I don't do a Tekiya, then they will think, oh, so if Yom Kippur comes out after Shabbos, so then that means it has the same Darga of Kedusha as the Shabbos. And because of that, It would be exactly the same halacha, but I need to be koveya in order. If I don't show any difference this year when Shabbos is coming after Yom Kippur, then people will not know that there's a higher Kedusha to Shabbos. And so on another year, when Yom Kippur is coming after Shabbos and instead of before Shabbos, people will make the mistake of thinking that, means I'm not allowed to bring it on the leftovers of Shabbos on Yom Kippur, because look, we never ever were tokea. That never showed that there was a higher Kedusha of Shabbos. And that means that it must be only Aliba to Rabbi Akiva. And I said to him, says Rabbi Zera, you don't need to be tokea, because who would you be tokea for? You'd be tokea for the Kohanim, that the Kohanim are supposed to know that there'd be mechuyev to burn the chalavim that were left over from Shabbos on Yom Kippur. You don't need to teach Kohanim with blowing a shofar, for heaven's sakes. Kohanim is rizimahim, and they would never forget a halacha like that. So the tkiah shofar was only for people that were not involved in the actual Aveda. What? Omerle Markashisha, Breda of Chitzel Rav Ashi. Who said that? Mi amrinan kohanim zrizinein? What about the very Mishnah that talks about the tekiyas in the Beis HaMikdash, which presumably are for kohanim, and it says over there, remember, that normally there were 21 different tekiyas every single day, and then they added 6 tekiyas on an Erev Shabbos. Shaloi shalat vila ta'am imalacha. This is in the Beis HaMikdash. And Shalosh Lahavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. So I'm assuming if it was in the Beis HaMikdash, the people that are going to be responsive to these kolot are Kohanim. Why do we need to, according to you, my dear Rabbi Zera? I thought Kohanim is reason, and we would never need to be Tokeya in the Beis HaMikdash for them. Now, that's Kiddi Omer Abaye. Remember what Abaye said about the beautiful menorah that Helini Amalka put on top of the Heichal, and that way when the sun shone, it would like immediately everybody could see when it was Neitz Hachama. So the Gemara over there says, but the Kohanim didn't daven at Neitz. The Kohanim had to daven early in order to be available. And therefore, who was this for? So Abaye said, Enochinami. It was in the Beis HaMikdash, but the people who would benefit from the shine of that menorah were the people living in the Rova, who would want to be coming to Neitz. So it was Lashar Amad de Yerushalayim. So also, they blew the shofar indeed by the Beis HaMikdash, but it wasn't needed for Kohanim. It was Lashar Amad de Yerushalayim. Wait a second. There's a very important reason to be tokea. Forget about the issue of the Kohanim. Don't we want people to know that the Kedusha of Yom Kippur is less than the Kedusha of Shabbos for another very important reason? And that is litka kiecha the lady the shrori biknivas yerek mina mincha v'lamala. Now, there's a very fascinating halacha. Big machlokas here, exactly what knivas yerek consists of and why there is this halacha, which I'll explain in a moment. Now, let's assume knivas yerek means getting a veggie ready for cooking. So let's say you have to cut off all of the parts that are not usable, they're dirty, or they're already kmushim. So fine. So that would be knivas yerek, or chopping it up. It should be suitable to put into a stew. Now the halacha is that you're allowed to do this on Yom Kippur, but you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos in preparation for Mitzoy Shabbos. You are allowed to do it on Yom Kippur for preparation for Mitzoy Yom Kippur. Now Rashi's fascinating shita is that the reason you can do this, because what it says is mipnei agmat nefesh. The reason you can do it is because if we allow you to prepare food on Yom Kippur, so as the day gets longer and longer, you are going to have more and more pain in handling food. And since the inyan of Yom Kippur is la'anot, you're supposed to be suffering from your ta'anit, so we want you to suffer. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. Everybody else learns it means exactly the opposite. A person who knows that even after Yom Kippur, he's going to have to wait another hour to get his food ready before he can eat something, he's going to start going crazy, and it's not fair. So therefore, when it gets to be after Mincha Ketana, when over there, there's only a little bit of time left, and we're not cheshish that in dealing with food at the end of the day that the person is going to be tempted to eat, which we would be cheshish if it was just, let's say, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and you say, oh my God, another 8 hours of this, maybe just a little chatzi shir or something, you know. So because of that, we don't allow you to do it before mincha katana, but we do allow you at this point, because we're not cheshish, that you're not going to be able to wait that little bit of extra time, which of course is the exact opposite explanation. But in any event, it would not be nogea this particular Yom Kippur, because you're not going to be able to cook on Shabbos anyway. And if it's Mitzvah Yom Kippur is a Shabbos, the point would not be to get ready for cooking on Shabbos. I will have done all my cooking before anyway, right? But since we're talking about doing something on this Yom Kippur, between this Yom Kippur and Shabbos, in order to establish a precedent in people's mind, which is what you were talking about, so then we should always make it clear that there is a tekiah between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. And people are like, what's the difference? Isn't it the same Kedusha? Oh, no, 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 no. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to prepare your dinner of Mitzray Shabbos on Shabbos. And on Yom Kippur, you are. And this way, they would know that it's mutter to do Knivas Yerek. So that would be a reason to do it every Shabbos. Every Yom Kippur to Shabbos. Omer of Yosef, for heaven's sakes. The tkia of the shofar was done to make people aware that things are more usher, for God's sakes, not less usher. What are we going to, we're going to tell people to blow a shofar, which you're not allowed to do, really, midrabbanan. You're not supposed to blow a shofar on Yom Kippur. So we're going to tell you do that because, yeah, well, because you want people to know that they're allowed to, in another year they'd be allowed to prepare dinner. That's not the reason we do tkia shofar. Rav Shisha Barei Ravini Omar, no, that's not the point. We would do that, but we only do the tkiyat shofar for something that is immediately nogea, even if it would be a heter. But over here, it's not nogea this year, because, I mean, the very point is, if I'm being tokea now, it must be an Erev Shabbos. Then I'm not allowed to do the Kedivas Yerek because I'm not going to be cooking on Shabbos anyway. So I'm not going to do something this year to teach people what the halacha is for next year. So if it's Krova, yes. But if it's Rechoka, I mean, something that's a year from now, they were not matter the Shavuos. Ask the Gemara, wait, Rav Shisha Barei Ravidi, excuse me, you're claiming that we would be matter a Shavuot Krova, and if it was Nogea this year, we would allow you to do a Shavuos for Heter? Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, Yom Tov Shechal Lihiyot Erev Shabbat, Tokin Velo Mavdilin? So if Yom Tov comes out before Shabbos, then we blow the shofar, and there's no Havdola, obviously, from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But if it comes out on Mitzray Shabbos, this was the Mishnah we learned in Chulin together, then Mavdilin, you only do Havdola, but no tekiya, because it's a lesser kedusha. You're not tokeya to let people know of some. Why? Let us be tokeya for a very important reason. We'll be tokeya because remember that everybody needs to know when they're allowed to begin preparations for the meal of Yom Tov. So your wife is always asking, okay, what time? What time can I start? What time can I start? Let's do the tkiyat shofar so that they'll know, okay, you can already start preparing your meal. It's already Mitzvah Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter. You're claiming, Rav Shisha, that we will blow the shofar to let people know that something is mutter. Well, it's pretty clear from the Mishnah and Chulin that we only blow the shofar to say that things are usher. So drop that, says Gemara, you're right. That's a big mistake. Rav Yosef's answer is actually correct. We do not blow a shofar, which is an Isser Shavuos, in order to tell you Heter Knivas Yerek. We would only tell you things that are usher. Anyway, once we talk about Knivas Yerek, we have an interesting shaila. What would be the din of Knivas Yerek if Yom Kippur was actually Chal on Shabbos? Do we say that this special Heter, which was a Yom Kippur dispensation, is a dispensation even if it's also Shabbos? Because after all, it would serve the same purpose. Or do we say it was a dispensation made specifically for Kedushas Yom Kippurim, but not where it was Kedushas Yom Kippur with Shabbos as well? So what would be the din of Knivas Yerek? Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Avuna, or some say it was Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Avuna. If Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, then there's no heter to do Knivas Yerek after Mincha. Omer Rav Mana, yes, that's actually 100% true, because it says in a braita, minayin liyom ha-kippurim shechaliyot b'shabbat sha'asur b'knivat yerek, Talmud lomar shabbaton. Therefore, when the Torah uses the lashon in the pasuk of shabbaton on Shabbos, so what would shabbaton mean? Shabbaton means shvot. You better make sure that you are in a state of rest. Now, what do you think that means, a state of rest? I mean, it can't mean a state of rest in terms of not doing melacha. I mean, obviously, it already said, lo ta'aseh kol melacha. So why do I need to mention rest? Of course, rest must be referring to an extension of rest. So in other words, that would mean even knivat yerek, shma mina. So from this braisa, you see, it's referring to not doing knivat yerek on a Shabbos. When would I think I could do knivat yerek? When it's Yom Kippur? No, actually, even if Yom Kippur comes out on a Shabbos, you are allowed to have the special dispensation of Knivas Yerek. On this version, of course, the Braita that was previously brought as a proof is now brought as a question. Meitve, here it says, Minayin Yom Kippurim Shechaliyot B'Shabbat Sha'asur B'Knivat Yerek, Talmud Lomar Shabbaton, which means Shvot. And what type of shvot? Must be, therefore, that it's referring to knivas yerek. So then it's saying that it's usur, which is against Rabbi Yochanan. No, you don't understand the braita. The braita actually was saying tamaloma shvot is only talking about cutting a veggie off of the ground. Cutting a veggie off of the ground? It says lo taseh kol melacha. That's true. But the Torah wants you to be over both on an asay of shvot and on a lot asay. And that changes many halachas, because if there's an asay and a lot asay, then you cannot say esa docha lot asay on Shabbos, because esa is not docha, a lot asay and an asay, and it changes the din fundamentally. So shvot is very, very important, actually. The question yesterday about whether if Yom HaKippurim is Chal on Shabbos, are you allowed to take advantage of the special dispensation of Knivas Yerek? And you'll remember that there was a Machlokes, Rashi, and many other Rishenim about whether the heter of Knivas Yerek is in order to be Meisif Agmes Nefesh, which is Rashi's approach. And because of that, as the day gets tougher and tougher to fast, so that's when we're Matir, because we want you to sense more the pain of the initemet nafshotechem, versus the opposite pshat, that actually the din of knivas yerek is in order to make it easier to prepare the meal for Mitzvah Yom HaKippurim, and a person should not be mitztayer thinking that he's going to have to wait an hour at the left Yom Kippur before he has something to eat. And therefore, we were matir. Why were we not matir earlier? Because earlier, there's so much time to go. Jeff, there's so much time to go that maybe the person would come to eat a little bit. So because of that, we were only matir after Mincha Kitana. That was the machloka. So anyway, Rabbi Yochanan said yesterday that the heter of Yom Kippur is chal even where Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. We're generally speaking, we were not matir knivas yerek, because we didn't have the special din. The question is, can we be matir it today or not? Rabbi Yochanan says, even on Yom Kippur, we can. So today, we are at the last line on Kuf Yod Aleph Amud Beis, and we're bringing a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact, even on Shabbos, it would be mutar. Tanik Abbas to Rabbi Yochanan, Yom HaKippurim, Pshechal Liyot B'Shabbat, mutar b'knivas yerek. Not only that, but you would be allowed to crack nuts in order to get them ready for eating on Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So you could do this just like Knivas Yerek, and you can open up Rimonim, which are a little bit problematic to get all the inside out. As long as it's Mincha Mincha V'Lamala, this is Mincha Ketana, we play Agmat Nefesh. And this again was our Machlokas, to add or to make it easier. Devei Reb Yehuda mekanve karba, and Devei Rabba were gare kara. So there were other minogim. They would take a cabbage out and get the cabbage ready for making some coleslaw after Yom Kippur. So they would have to clean off the parts of the cabbage that were not clean and so on. Devei Rabba, they would go ahead and they would scrape off pumpkins for getting some of the meat, you know, from the inside of the pumpkin. And they would do this along with the Knivas Yerek. Now, what happened is that once Rabbah noted that they're starting this a little too early. So, Kibbutz Chazal Avikon Acharif, in the Heter, was only from the Shas HaMincha, but not from before. So, because of that, he wanted them to stop doing it. Now, as in most households that we're familiar with, if the husband says don't do it, everybody's going to do it anyway. So what Rabbah had to do was figure out that the only way to stop them from doing this is to pretend that a new psak came out from Rabbi Yashiv that answered all of this stuff. So Rabbah comes in and says, oh my gosh, we just got a letter from Eretz Yisrael. There's like a new psak that you're not allowed to scrape pumpkins on Yom Kippur at all. That way they wouldn't do it before Mincha. Which wasn't true, but as we saw before, this is the kind of thing that is done. If you're trying to prevent people from getting into doing Yisurim, which of course is why everybody makes up these letters all the time based on that heter, it doesn't have to be true, you know. Therefore, it's always good to take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. Is Richie around and he's ready? Ready to go, Rich? Hagran alach ve'elu kisharim.
Bli neder. Funten de helike peres.